am very honored to be among you this morning, and I thank you, Pastor, very Reverend Father Jonathan. Thank you for having me with you to share some of very common feelings and teachings about the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him the glory is always. In his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 9, St. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." In his letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1 and following, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" And in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he is confirming the same truth. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." According to our Orthodox Church teaching, the crucifixion of Christ comes in the context of many historical and salvific events, starting with the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel to the Holy Theotokos, and then his baptism in Jordan by John the Baptist, and then his suffering, crucifixion, slash resurrection. Now, I was very impressed of the combination of the readings of today in your lovely church. That passage from Isaiah chapters 52 and 53, the servant of Yahweh, Jehovah, and the reading of the Passion of Christ from John, Gospel of John. Why is the crucifixion is so important to us as Orthodox Church? To the point that in Antioch, in the old days before the First Ecumenical Council, they used to celebrate the resurrection on the Friday, actually, not on Sunday. And their reason was that Jesus became a victor and overcame the death and put an end to it on the cross. He went down to the Hades and preached the good news to those just people from Old Testament and from all days, and gave them the good news. Now you can return back to the place which was prepared for you that Adam lost through his sin. And now I am the new Adam, retrieving you to where you belong, honored with me in my kingdom. You will be participants of this kingdom by believing in this new, old slash new reality that I am the life, the resurrection, and the way. And actually, on Holy Saturday, we sing, "Arise, O God, and rule over on this earth." And we throw to the on the faithful and everywhere, every place in the church, a laurel leaves that they symbolize the victory. And That's why you see crowns of these leaves in all pictures and statues, because these denoted the crown of the victors over anything honorable in life. So, and the question came to these Antiochian, but the gospel says that he resurrected on Sunday. They said, well, nobody went there on Friday to verify. They went only on Sunday, because Saturday they couldn't move. So they figured out the resurrection on Sunday. But that didn't mean that he didn't resurrect on Friday, actually. Well, to unify the church celebration, they went back to celebrate the resurrection, the day of the Lord, Kyriakin in Greek, Domingo in Latin. So they came back to celebrate on a Sunday. But what was miraculous and worth all wonder for those was the crucifixion more than the resurrection. For the resurrection of Christ was a very normal and natural act, since he is God. But for a God to take on flesh and endure suffering, crucifixion and death, was inconceivable to the human mind, especially to those of either Greek or Jewish background. This is why the message of the cross, according to St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Greek. Where is the scribe? Jew. Where is the disputer of this age? Today's culture. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached, the cross, to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign. They believe in miracles. They need something extra-natural, super important. And Greeks seek after wisdom, being disciples of Plato and Aristotle. How come man, a God, become a man? This is foolishness, according to them. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block. How can a Savior be crucified among two thieves and still save humanity? They need him powerful, with 12 tribes, to rule this world and to get rid of the Roman yoke over their lives. And to the Greeks, foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. On one of the crucifixion icons, actually, we identify it as the extreme humility in our Orthodox Church. This kenosis, in Greek, self-emptying of God, by taking on our corruptible nature to restore it, is an act of extreme humility. This is why we celebrate the crucifixion and do not mourn it. We don't honor the suffering and the pain. We are not masochists. But we celebrate the endurance of them voluntarily by God in order to save us. Through Jesus' crucifixion, our salvation has come, as well as the end of the death. Death has no dominion over us anymore, because by his death, Jesus put an end to it. We were sold to the sin, and through it to death. We were under its dominion, but not forever. As one of our hymns says, verily Hades ruled the race of man, but not forever. For thou, Almighty One, when thou wast placed in the grave, didst demolish the locks of death with the palm of your hand. O element of life, proclaiming to those sitting yonder from the ages a true salvation, having become, O Savior, the firstborn of the dead. By his crucifixion, he renewed us. He gave us back the incorruptible nature that Adam had before his fall. Another prayer says, the fall of Adam resulted in the death of a man, not God. For though the substance of thine earthly body suffered, thy divinity has remained passionless, transforming the corrupt to incorruptibility. And by thy resurrection, thou hast uncovered the incorrupt fountain of life. His death is our life. His sufferings is our joy, for we were reunited to him again. Another prayer says, thou hast stretched forth thy hands, O Savior, and gathered the things dispersed of all. And by thy burial in the linen and the grave, thou hast loosed the captives, who shout, there is none holy save thee, O Lord. From first Adam, we inherited sin and consequently death. From the second / new Adam, we inherited sanctification and eternal life. What was destroyed by Adam was restored by Christ. We have become a new creation whose nature has become incorruptible after the likeness of Jesus' nature. Another prayer says, to the depth of the earth thou descendest to fill all with thy glory. For my person that is in Adam was not hidden from thee. And when thou wast buried, thou didst renew me, who was corrupt, all over of mankind. When thou becomest earthy, O Creator, thou didst renew those who are earthy, and the linen and the grave explain thy hidden mystery, O Word. For the honorable Joseph of sound belief fulfilled thy father's plan, through whom thou hast renewed me by the might of his greatness. Thou hast transported the dead by death, and the corrupt by burial. For as becometh God, thou hast made the body which thou didst create incorrupt and deathless. For thy body, O Master, did not see corruption, and thy soul, in a strange manner, was not left in Hades. These prayers reflect the teaching of St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 47 to 55. The first man was of earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as in the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. And he continues later on to say, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Celebrating Jesus' crucifixion is celebrating victory. Celebrating newness of life, glorification, sanctification. The ugliness of his suffering beautified us. His seemingly weakness, as we saw in the Isaiah 52, is now our strength. His condescension is our elevation. All what Isaiah saw in God's faithful servant was fulfilled in Christ in paradoxical way. What was considered ugliness has been proven to be the most beautiful. What was considered a curse to be crucified even among the thieves has become a blessing. What was considered the end of our journey, the grave, has become life restoring because Christ stayed in it. What was seen as a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity is now victor and healer of our souls and bodies. Who was despised and from whom others hid their faces is now our Easter. This is why all the Orthodox churches are oriented to the East, because we expect to see life and all our life from the East coming, where the sun gives life, the true sun, the real sun that illumines everyone who comes to this world, without which we live in darkness. Who was accounted stricken, struck down by God, is now glorious at the right hand of his Father. Now one asks, Was it possible for God to save humanity in a different way? Or in other words, why the crucifixion? Our Holy Fathers teach us that what is not assumed cannot be cured. God, of course, could have saved us the way he wants. But it happens that he chose to be incarnate of a virgin, whether the unreligious like it or not. Out of his extreme love and care for our cure, he wanted to take us back into him to be participants of his glory and his life. This is why he took our flesh, to cure it from within and not externally by a miracle. He deigned to put on our corruptible body so he can clothe us with the garment of incorruptibility. He went into the very problem, our corruptibility, expressed by pain and death, and endured them to the extreme limit until he overcame them once and for all. He experimented what we have been through in order to heal it. In one of our hymns on Holy Thursday, we chant, "Every member of thy holy body, O Savior, have endured humiliation for our sakes. The head with thorns, the face with spitting, the cheeks with blows, the mouth with a taste of vinegar mixed with gall, the ears with blasphemies, the feet with infidelity, the back with scourges, and the hand with the rod, and the extension of the whole body with the cross, the extremities with nails, and the side with steel. Wherefore, O thou who didst suffer for us, and didst deliver us from suffering, condescending to us for thy love of mankind, and raised us, O thou Almighty, have mercy upon us. Therefore, God's providence so fit and meet for the word of God to become flesh like us, so we can again be again like him. And since Christ was the first man to do that, we are all called to be like him. He was not called the first among dead for no reason. It is obvious that we are expected to be the second, the third, the fourth, and so forth. It is odd and illogical to most of our young generation today. Well, God acts most of the time not according to our reasoning, but rather according to his law, which this culture insists not to see and feel. Our celebration today is paradoxical. We celebrate crucifixion in anticipation of the resurrection. Hence, we chant on Pascha, "Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tomb bestowing life."